Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, I'm going to let everybody get settled here because I want everybody's attention. Some things I'm going to share with you today, I pray that you get it because it's simple but profound. Things the Lord's been speaking to us for forever. Do we believe even the songs we sing? Or do we just, you know, sounds good and we just go along with it? But no. Everything that comes out of this ministry, God is speaking to us how we can have a better life and not struggle so much. Anyway, we're going to look today. This is a Prophet's Corner Uncut. We're going to look at, and this is Sunday morning, 3:17:24. This is, the title is called Technique with Character. Now, my second day of my shoot this week, I always get up early and I pray before the shoot. So this is what the Lord gave me Tuesday morning. All right. Get a picture in your mind. Danielson and Mr. Miyagi. In the boat. Remember, they're out on the lake. Mr. Miyagi is fishing and Daniel is asking when he's going to get to punch. You know, when's all this training going to be over, you know? Part of the agreement that Daniel made with Mr. Miyagi, Daniel was the student, Miyagi the teacher. The student was to obey the instructions of the teacher without question. This is where trust comes in. Daniel had a major meltdown after he washed the car, waxed the car, wax on, wax off, sanded the floor, right to circle, left to circle, painted the fence, up, down, bend knees, and paint the house side to side. Breathe in, breathe out. In his process, Daniel obviously is only focused on punching his enemies because he's getting his rear end kicked every time he goes to school. He does not yet see the value in all the instructions that Mr. Miyagi has laid down for him. He just doesn't understand all that he has learned until he has the meltdown and Mr. Miyagi starts saying, wash the car, wax on, wax off, sand the floor, right the circle, left the circle, paint the fence, up, down, bend knees, paint the house, side to side, breathe in, breathe out. Then all these techniques start going into action. He begins to realize this wasn't just about using me as slave labor. This is about learning technique. Everything that seemed wasted and useless to Daniel in an instant became second nature. He was called upon to defend himself. He had the technique down. All right. Back to the boat. Daniel's at the end of the boat practicing this technique. I can see him going, whoosh, whoosh. He's asking Mr. Miyagi about when am I able to punch somebody, you know, kind of. Mr. Miyagi says, first learn balance. He begins to sink the boat. Daniel falls into the water. He says that Daniel is wet behind the ears. Daniel knows the technique, but he does not have his emotions under control. This is the real power behind the technique. All right, this is where the scriptures start. We'll talk about Daniel, Mr. Miyagi some more through this, but I'm never amazed at what the Lord will use to teach a lesson. All right, Matthew 14. Verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they came into the ship, the wind ceased. It's okay when Jesus is there, right? But once Jesus leaves, something starts happening. We start going to pieces. Is this what happened? Peter, he tried, but he was still. He didn't have his emotions under control because what he saw caused him to fall. What he felt caused him to fall. All right? He fainted in his mind. The circumstances caused him to faint in his mind. All right, 1 Peter 5. Peter knew some stuff about this because over here he writes this. This is, I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. You can turn to yours if you want to. It says here, therefore, this is 1 Peter 5, 6 through 8. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Casting the whole of your care, you know the care bear snare? Care bear snare. Casting the whole of your care, that includes all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, on him, for he cares for you affectionately, cares about you watchfully. Be well balanced. First learn balance. We know you can hit. We know you know the technique. You walk around like a parrot a lot of times. Be well balanced. Temperate, sober of mind. Be vigilant and cautious at all times, for the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined, knowing that the same identical sufferings are appointed to your brotherhood, the whole body of Christians throughout the world. So everybody knows the trouble you've seen, because they've seen it too. I know we're all exhausted about hearing about David and Goliath, but let me give you something to think about. If you cannot trust God, it is a two-way street. God cannot trust you either. Think about that one. We always tend to look at it one-sided. Oh, Lord, we can trust you. But he's saying, yeah, the problem is, can I trust you? We want something to happen. I want a punch. First, learn balance. God cannot trust you either. When you are sent out into the field in a situation that comes your way, will you run from it or stand strong and deliver? We cannot shrink back from the giant in our lives. God is trying to help you overcome this giant, and you, all you're doing is avoiding it, hiding from it. You know what I mean. You all have your ways, we all do, that we hide from the giant. Think about that. This is crucial today. It's those little foxes that spoil the vine. Fear is Satan's deterrent. God allowing that fear in your life to test to see if you're ready for the real deal. In the face of fear, you can stand and not back down. All right, a couple of scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 6. We know what what Paul went through. Well, he's the one that wrote this by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, probably because of all the things that he went through. He probably went through more than anybody besides Jesus. All right, 6:10. I want you to identify the little foxes that are keeping you from getting the results that you want. I had to face my own during this teaching. Lord showed me an area. In fact, he showed me a couple areas. I'm going, oh, I didn't realize I did, but I didn't. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not telling you, so don't ask me. Y'all, I'm not asking you about yours. All right. Start with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's a tricky devil, for sure. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me just take a side journey here. If people believed in flat earth, people say, oh, what difference does it make? Flat, round, whatever. What difference does it make? Because the whole alien thing and all this garbage goes away and they realize we're dealing with the devil, aren't we? That's why God's word is the truth. And the enemy's tried to come to steal the word. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're not wrestling against aliens from other galaxies. These are these demonic entities that have been around since the fall or before. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. One thing, you know, devil's a liar. After the Roswell crash, the victim that was rescued from that crash, one of his outstanding attributes is he lied about everything. He was of his father, the devil, who couldn't tell the truth no more than Satan can. He lied! The devil's a liar, and he's been lying to you. He's been lying to me. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Do you see that? Stand. Having your loins. Doesn't say run. Doesn't say hide. Doesn't say avoid. It says stand in the face of it. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, you know you're in right standing with God and that whatever the case may be, you're already the victor. Did you believe the song you sang this morning? Is it just another little song that gets us going? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You're sure-footed and you got peace because you got the victory. You're not trying to get the victory today. You already have it. The devil's the one that's come to take it from you. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. See, we stand complete in him, and we have all rights and privileges and authority in Jesus' name. It's already been given unto us. We're not waiting to get it. We already have it. So what's going on here? The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, destroy. That's the facts. You want to know the facts? There's facts. But most people think that what they're experiencing, the lies of the devil, false evidence appearing real, that's what's true and that's what's real and that's what they act on. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What does that do? I can't tell you how many times that I've just just be doing my normal stuff and just, you know, start getting an attack. So I'll just stop what I'm doing. I go in the bedroom and I just start working my puzzle and praying in the spirit, and then it leaves. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Romans 5:17. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. This is the mission statement of this ministry. For because of one man's last offense, death reigned through that one, because of Adam's sin, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings in life. The story of David and Goliath, it's the making of a king. Through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That's what this ministry is about, the making of a king. The kingdom is here, and it is coming. It's not just inside of us, it's coming in the natural. All right, we're going to look at Jesus. He didn't shrink back. All right, Hebrews 12. Another good example would be the three Hebrew children and Daniel. They didn't shrink back in fear, but they went in. They kept their conversation right. All right, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What's that weight? And that sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He knew balance, didn't he? Be well balanced, for that enemy of yours, like a roaring lion, roams around seeking whom he may devour. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood of striving against sin, for ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Why is he allowing these things to come your way? Because if you can't trust him, he can't trust you. We all want it off. Take it off, take it off. I can't stand it anymore. But when push comes to shove, somewhere down the road, everything we've learned is going to kick in. And we'll be so glad that we allowed ourselves to go through the process and learn what we needed to learn. Because God cannot trust those on the field that faint like John Mark and run home to mama. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. It's kind of like a child that's left to itself, and he is just like a wild Indian. No training, no discipline. No good to anybody, really. Grow up and just make a mess in life. That's it. No, because we care for our children, we train them the right way to go. How much more so does God do that? Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us when we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather much rather be in subjection unto the Father, spirits, and live? What he's doing for us is for us to live and rule and reign. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it were, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Mother, quit acting like a sorry sad sack, is what he's saying. Wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down in the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. In other words, act like it. Instead of, stand strong, firmly in your place. Do we believe the battle is the Lord's? Well, when we make that stance, who do you think takes over? He does. Because we choose to stay in the Spirit. He'll give us the words to speak or whatever we need to do in the situation. But if you run, hope y'all are getting this. Jesus did not run. He did not shrink back. He did not hide. He faced it head on, and he's our example. We're to follow in his footsteps, okay? We're going to go over and look at David and Goliath again. First part, I want to go to the chapter 15 first. I want to show you, well, just turn to 1 Samuel 15. I heard the president say something. It was in a video, and he said he had known people that they were the most brilliant people that have ever been walked this earth, but they quit. They never amounted to anything. But he said, I know people that were far inferior to these people, but because they wouldn't back down and they wouldn't quit, they accomplished the greatest things there is that you've seen in the earth. I thought that was just excellent analogy of the children of God. Okay, 15 here. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, of the fatlings, and the lambs, and that all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandment, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone out and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul and said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? The Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And saw unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord so great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What is rebellion? Going back to the vomit. Going your own way. Shrinking back. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people, fear, and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. All right, go to 17 now, chapter 17. All right, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together the armies to battle, and were gathered together at Socho, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Socho and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between the soldiers. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then I will be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They just put up with that giant all day, every day, for a certain period of time. And now David was a son of the Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name is Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of the 3 sons were that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next him Abinadab, and third Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening, and presented himself 40 days. So for 40 days they're putting up with this giant, daring them, taunting them, scaring them. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. Carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistine, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. See, David had already been anointed king. Wasn't that 16 when that happened? Anyway, it was before this battle. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? It shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. David spake to the men that stood by, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You sure see a change of attitude, don't you? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spake to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the hot naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done? What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. The people answered him again after the same manner. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. It's plain to see the Lord done just picked the ones that look have all the brawn, does he? Not in appearance, in spirit. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there was a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and went out after him, and smote it, and delivered it out of his hand, or out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and is this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said more of the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. This is just the arm of the flesh. Arm of the flesh. Think about what the arm of the flesh is. Just doing stuff. To try to avoid it, to try to get out of it. And David girded his sword upon his arm, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, cannot you go with these? I'm a spirit warrior. I can't use these outside things. For I have not proved them. And David put them off him. He had proved his spirit, though, right, with the lion and the bear. And he took off his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. All the stuff of you standing before the giants in your life, all the fleshly things that you're doing to try to avoid it, shirk it, run from it, do whatever, is it working? Answer me. Is it working? You know the answer. It isn't working. What's going to work? The Spirit. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, here's the false evidence appearing real. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. There's the devil taunting. Taunting. Telling you, you ain't never going to get your answer. No, this is going to happen. No, that's going to happen. Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Greater is he in you than he that's in the world." Do we believe it or do we just sing it? I'm not mad at anybody today. I just want you to get the seriousness of this. "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear." Not by methods. Not by your methods. Not by means and methods. Unless by the Spirit he tells you to do it. "For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." It came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew right nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't run back and jump in the foxhole. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead. He fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword and drew out the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. When he cut off his head, he cut off his authority over him and his lies. The making of a king. We need not fight in this battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. Do we just sing it or do we mean it? Saul lost the kingdom because he let fear cause him to disobey God. David was given the kingdom because in the face of fear he was not moved. He trusted God. Remember the Last Man Standing series where the little boy was afraid of spiders and they went to a school spook house. He went through the spook house and there was a giant spider in there and it scared him so bad he ran out screaming out of the spook house. Well, later his grandpa took him home and took him to his room and he had put that big old spider in his bedroom. And he showed him it's just fake. And then I think he took him back to the spook house with the spider and he wasn't scared anymore. False evidence appearing real. Feels real, looks real, but it was fake. If we believe what we sing and we say and we talk a good talk about, that we are, by the stripes of Jesus, really healed, will we really act that way? Or whatever problem it is. That little boy didn't fear spiders anymore when he found out it wasn't real. And if Jesus has already taken all sickness and disease on his back, then what are you dealing with? False evidence appeared real, right? It's the ones that face the giant and don't back down, even in fear, that win. Or that they're not deterred by the fear. When you can do that, you will not just have the technique, but the character to boot. That's what balance is. Be well balanced. For that enemy of yours, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, withstand him firm in faith. All right. That is when God can trust you with his business. Just think about it. You go into a situation and you come up against a major stronghold and you're going to have to stand strong. And there might be some manifestations and you don't know what to do and you're standing there and you're thinking, oh, what am I supposed to do here? You better get somebody else. I don't think I can help y'all. Are we going to do it or are we going to run? False evidence appearing real. That's Satan's deterrent. That's what he throws out to scare. He scares you with things that will never happen. All right. When you can do that, when you can finally do that, God will be able to trust you. You know, we're like anybody else. We just want it to be over. We want it to be done, kind of like what's going on in the nation. I'd just be glad when this show is over. But what people don't understand, people's hearts have to be prepared to receive the kingdom of God. They can't take it in their situation in the way they've been used to living. They won't receive it. That's why it's had to be so drawn out. That's why they want such a high percentage of the people awake to what's really going on so that it's not, you know, they can't even do 50-50. That's why if you got a question in your mind, why, they can't release it to you till they know that most of the populace is on board. All right, we see the character in Daniel, not just the technique, when he enters the tournament. At the end, when he has dealt with the cheating of the Cobra Kai members trying to knock him out of the tournament, though injured, we see technique and balance come. Though badly injured in the face of pain and fear, Daniel pulls the crane technique out and wins the tournament. All right, let's go to Luke 22. We'll start with 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Sure you are. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Jesus knew where Peter was. Right here, sift means to riddle, like a sieve. Put you through a sieve. You ever feel like you've been put through a sieve? You've been widowed or riddled? That means to winnow. Everything's been shaken out of you that can possibly be shaken out of you. That's the winnowing process. To remove or get rid of. When you can walk in the Spirit, that is being led by the Spirit will lead you into the time to punch. This will be the time that you will no longer hide, shrink back, avoid, or crawfish from the giants in your life. We cannot accommodate the giant. We must deal with him. Saul was technique without character. David was technique with character. Never turn your back on the giant. It is not enough to just know the technique. Technique without balance, which is character, is not good. It can do more harm than good. Jesus showed us how to do it when he was here, and here is the instructions that he left for us to follow. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. John chapter 8. I want you today, when you go home and whatever you do, ask the Lord, Lord, where am I crawfishing, avoiding, running from? Ask him. He'll show you. He showed me. And I'm telling you what, it didn't take but a minute for me to know exact minute. I mean, he told me. I'm thinking, oh, wished he hadn't. No, I'm glad he did. No, I'm glad he did. Like I said, don't ask me about it, 'cause I ain't going to tell you. And I ain't going to ask about yours. You just Ask the Lord about yours. It's between you and the Lord. I'm just the messenger here. Don't forget that. He gave me this for a reason, so. This is just where we were, the sifting. No, I'm sorry, John. I'm looking in the wrong place. John 8, 28. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that hath sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And he spake these words, many believed on him. So Jesus spake these things. He was not one that shrank back. He was one that only obeyed the Father. He followed the Spirit. All right, John 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. So Jesus was doing the Father's works. He wasn't doing his own works. He was doing the Father's works. All right, John 10, 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. He's doing these works in his Father's name. All right, 37 and 38, same chapter. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So Jesus didn't do an independent work. Okay, John 14. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So he was going to keep his mouth shut because he was fixing to go to the cross, and he didn't want anything to dissuade him from what he had to do, following the Father's lead. Going to the cross. Yeah. All right. John 14. Is that what I just read? I just read 14. Luke. Let's go back. Luke 11, 20. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. He didn't cast out devils on his own either. He listened to God. All right, Mark 11. I think I brought up this passage of scripture either last Sunday. It might have been Wednesday, but brought it back up to me. This is 11:11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Why didn't he do it back here in verse 11? He looked around about upon all the things. He went into the temple. Why didn't he just go ahead and do something then? Because he followed the Spirit. He had to wait until God told him, go in there and overturn the money changers. and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves? He better be moving in the Spirit. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursedst is withered away. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God. He didn't do that independently either. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. It's not working it in the flesh like so many have before us. It's doing it by the Spirit. There's the difference. I feel like we learned the technique, but we didn't learn the balance. We learned the faith principle, but we didn't learn the other part. It's by the Spirit. There's the character. Following the Spirit. All right, one last thing about Karate Kid. Mr. Miyagi taught him that karate was for defense only. We're not to go around looking for a fight. Our goal is peace. Daniel at first was obsessed with taking out his enemies. He wanted to fight, but that wasn't the goal. The goal was not the technique, but the character. If we must punch, we will, as the Holy Spirit shows us what to do, for defense only. The defense of the gospel, so that it can continue forward. Our goal is bringing others to the Lord. We are not Cobra Kai's. Understand that? I hear that all the time. Oh, I just want them all gone. I want them all executed. I want you to round them all up and just kill them all. These are Christians. I'm going, you don't know what spirit you're of. That's what Jesus said to the that I read to you a while ago. You don't know what spirit you're of. You want us to call fire to come down from heaven and consume them? That's not character. You may have the ability to do so, but that's not godly character. That's not the right way to look at things. We need to be praying for those people that did not go to hell. Right? Never forget that people are never the target, that Satan is always the target. Even then, it will be done by the finger of God. We don't take it onto ourselves to try to whip the devil. No. If we want the Spirit and power, we got to wait on the Spirit for that. You take it to your own flesh, you'd be like the seven sons of Sceva, running out of the house, bleeding and naked, dealing with a demonic. Okay. Matthew 10:16, that's by the finger of God, isn't it? No, that's Luke. Let's go to Matthew 10:16. That's Luke 20. 11:20. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as dove. You know, Jesus didn't just go in there and rip up the temple when he wanted to. He's waiting on the Spirit for the right opportunity, where the Spirit came on him to do that, not to just take it to his own hands and then get himself in trouble. I can remember the years that we used to go to places where they were having deliverance meetings and stuff. God, you talk about stupid and out of line. We had no clue what we were doing. We were not led by the Spirit. We were just mimicking what, you know what I'm saying? And the Lord took care of us. We were babies in the Lord. We didn't know any better. Anyway, we've got to learn. We've got to let the Spirit teach us what He wants us to do and follow it out to the letter. We just can't move out and just do our own stuff. And through your training process, if you can stand in the face of the giant and not shrink back, faint in your mind, that'll help you to be strong whenever the Lord calls upon you to do something. All right, James 4. This is a biggie. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, he flee from you. Not the other way around. Resist God and submit yourself to the devil. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see what he's talking about here? Learning to stand strong, firmly in your place, and not being moved. That's submitting to God. All right, remember after the tournament, the angry man? He wanted to fight Mr. Miyagi. What did he do? Well, he got him in a death grip and then went, onk. Yeah. And in the second movie, Daniel was facing in a situation where it was to the death. He got him in the death grip, and what did he do? Honk. And there's Mr. Miyagi over there with that grin on his face. He got it. He got the technique, and he got the character to go with the technique. All right. Go to Luke 10. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, notwithstanding. In this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Our success and the gain that we receive from it's not from the punch. It's our message of the kingdom of heaven. It's that rejoicing over a lost soul coming into the kingdom of God. It's what it's about. And on the way, if we have to punch, we'll punch. But that's not the goal. The goal is the gospel, right? The Great Commission. All right. This is not about whipping the devil. Jesus already did that. It is about the advancement of the kingdom of God. I know that you currently feel like a punching bag. I also identify with that. But we may be down, but we are not out. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me on 3/11/24. This was Monday morning. I'm sending back those that have been scattered from here. They came and nothing seemed to happen as they thought it should because their timing was not right. They were before their time. No room was made for them. With this you can identify. They, like you, had a vision, but they had to be trained just like you. You're in a holding pattern, but reinforcements are coming. I'm sending them back out here to do what has been prophesied for decades, to bring the oasis in the desert. You will not be alone in this. They walked through the fire just as you have, or they have walked through the fire just as you have. Now they understand as you do. The punch is coming, but the greatest part is that the kingdom is coming. Okay, that's it.